Just before I begin, I'd like to thank everyone who made this project possible, my field technician, my lab members, and those who provided other support and funding. Now, when one thinks of an arthropod community, one can imagine a variety of factors that contribute to its structure or its species composition, such as abiotic factors like nutrients, light availability or temperature, or biotic factors like competition, parasitism, and predation. It's also important to remember that space and time may structure or add different elements to the structure of your community, as well as factors like immigration or emigration. For my research, what I focused on was the effects of predation of insect predators and how those varied in space. So there is a fairly significant body of literature that suggests that bird predators may have a significant impact on insect and spider communities, particularly in temperate regions. And for herbivores, there's even evidence that effects cascade down so that plant communities in turn are affected. So my first theme is predation. The second is vertical space. And when you think of a forest, you can divide it up into different elements of vertical or different strata in space, right from the forest floor and understory up to the canopy crown. And in this vertical space, there's a variety of factors that differ. One of these is that resource quality and availability do differ in vertical space, such that the canopy crown, at least in temperate systems, offers a lower diversity of resources for a lot of herbivorous insects because there's just a few major canopy species. Also, this area is a lot harsher in terms of UV radiation and wind speeds, but it also may offer faster growing foliage with higher nutrients, whereas the understory is more sheltered and has a higher diversity of plants available. Regardless, within this vertical space, the sort of divisions, one can imagine arthropods dividing up their spacing, choosing to live in ways that maximize their acquisition of resources, all the time limiting their predation pressure. So I think these two themes lend themselves well to the idea of enemy-free space, which was basically defined by Jeffries and Lawton as ways of living that reduce a species' vulnerability to one or more species of natural enemy. And I chose to think of this in terms of strata in vertical space. Are there strata that offer arthropods enemy-free or enemy-reduced space? So if I exclude birds from different strata, do I see different effects in arthropod communities? So that's basically my main question. Are there certain strata in the forest canopy or understory that offer refuge from predators? A secondary question are these differences taxon specific? Do different taxa respond differently to effects of birds? For example, Lepidoptera, certain species are known to be quite palatable to birds. Maybe there's a stronger effect for caterpillars. So my study site was in eastern Canada, in Quebec, on the island of Montreal, and it was in the Morgan Arboretum here. It's a 245-hectare reserve, and I did my study in the sugar maple stands in the Morgan Arboretum. Here's another picture of the arboretum, and here's a picture of our lab's canopy crane, which I was fortunate enough to use to access some of the areas of the canopy. It's really a great method for accessing, although when the wind speeds pick up, it can get a bit sway, and we actually coined a new term. We weren't sure whether we should call it crane sick or canopy sick, but there can be a little bit of swaying. So to exclude birds, I actually set up wire exclosures along branches in different strata, and I sampled these along with control branches that were not did not exclude birds, and I had 20 cages in four vertical strata from the understory, lower canopy, mid canopy, up to the upper canopy region. And I sampled these six times from June to September. I also did bird surveys because I thought it was important to determine the avian community there, because different birds have different patterns of foraging that are well documented, and if you combine species information and abundance with their natural history, you might can perhaps explain patterns of abundance or just patterns that I'm seeing in insect communities. So just moving right along to what I found with the birds, I recorded over 400 individuals in my surveys, which I did in the spring, 35 species, and four common species. I think the most important species would be, in terms of insectivity, would be the ovenbird and the red-eyed vireo. Moving into the results of my insect collections, I identified to family in the field and returned the insects to the cage or the control. And you can see here that spiders, by far, were the most common thing I collected, secondarily were Coleoptera. But across the board, the cage here is in the dark color, the control and the light, sort of across the board here, I see higher abundance in the cages. To examine whether that effect was actually significantly different, I pooled my data across the season and took an average per replicate cage or control and compared. You can see the understory, lower canopy, mid canopy, and upper canopy. And in each case, there was a highly significant difference. This is what I expected. This is fairly well established in the literature. But what I found that was really interesting was this data here. If we look at the percent difference between the cage and control, you can see that it's the lowest in the understory and that it increases up to the highest in the canopy, which is actually significantly different by weighted means. This significant difference between the understory and the upper canopy, which suggests that perhaps there's a gradient in predation pressure, but at least their predation pressure is the highest in the upper canopy. So I also examined this effect across different taxa, and for spiders, this pattern held in each stratum. Differences were significantly different. Mostly the same result for Coleoptera that you can see here. There's no significant difference in the mid-canopy region, but it still approaches significance. The error bars here are 95% confidence intervals. Finally, for Lepidoptera, I was somewhat surprised by this result. I had anticipated a large effect on caterpillars, but there was actually no significant difference between the cage and control. One thing that I think is important in this case is that density was really low, and over the entire season I collected fewer than 3 individuals per cage or control branch. And it's well known that in a lot of temperate regions caterpillars undergo certain outbreaks, and this was a really low density year, so it's possible that if this experiment was repeated in an outbreak year, there would be very different results. So as I said, this study sort of confirms current literature that there are strong effects of avian predators in temperate forests. There was another study done in tropical regions by Sunshine Van Bale, which found higher predation pressure in the canopy and actually no effect of birds in the understory. So that's somewhat similar to what I found. But what I'm really excited about is this sort of gradient that I observed from the understory right up to the upper canopy. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't have a mechanism yet. It's possible there's better visibility for foraging. It's also possible that avian communities in general or in this region are dominated by upper canopy foraging, and it may be that the vireos, which are really voracious insect predators and who spend all of their time in the upper canopy, are driving this. Finally, as far as taxon-specific responses go, I did find strong effects with spiders and no effects with caterpillars. I think this may be related in part to interguild predation going on between birds and spiders. And when the pressure of the birds is lifted from the spider community in the cages, the spider populations increase and they end up controlling probably the Lepidoptera population. So aside from just the regular population cycles of Lepidoptera, this is probably another reason why Lepidoptera was so low in the cages. So, just in summary, I did see this sort of gradient in predation pressure, and it seems that there is enemy-free or enemy-reduced space in the understory or lower canopy regions, and from other sampling I've done combined with this, it seems that insects are exploiting this, and that insect density per leaf surface area is actually a lot higher in the understory and the lower canopy. Spiders are really important prey items, it seems, for birds. They really increase in the absence of birds. And I would really enjoy repeating this experiment during an outbreak year of Lepidoptera to see what kinds of effects birds have in that situation. So thank you very much for your attention, and I can take any questions. when I started out, I had wanted to do foraging, observations of them foraging, but most of the foliage is pretty thick, and most of my observations were actually not visual. They were by vocalization. I would just hear a bird, and sometimes I could not even tell if it was in the canopy or the understory. So I would like more like that, but fortunately the information exists in the literature for a lot of these temperate species about their patterns of foraging on insects, so I can mine that literature.
So are you going to be able to repeat it for another summer?
I don't know that. I just finished up my master's, and or rather I didn't finish it up, I'm in the process. And I would like to. I don't know if it's going to be possible. It depends on the caterpillars. Maybe in the following summer, if there's an outbreak, it would be fun to do.
You
but
got your data
really
interesting. It would be great.
Oh, yeah. I would love to do it.
You don't need to have a lot.